a very special edition of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast. The Brewers have won six straight games as we sit here Monday on an off day, heading into a two-game series with the Kansas City Royals that starts on Tuesday. The Brewers are 14-9, tied for first place in the NL Central, so now is a good time to keep chatting about the Milwaukee Brewers. They've had some fun this season. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast. Wanted to run down the five best moments of the Brewers season thus far and then get you a couple interviews as well. Talked with Lewis Brinson. He did some pregame media availability before the start of the Marlins series, the four-game set that the Brewers swept at Miller Park over the weekend. On Thursday, he spoke to the media. This is his first game back since he was traded in the offseason as part of a blockbuster deal that brought the Brewers Christian Yelich. He was sort of the centerpiece prospect in that deal. Of course, Asan Diaz, Monty Harrison, and pitcher Jordan Yamamoto were also part of that equation. So he was back. He is playing every day for the Marlins. He is in center field. And, of course, subsequent to that interview, he hit three home runs in the series, including two in the same game. So he clearly still comfortable hitting at Miller Park. And before that, another Marlins connection, starting pitcher for the Marlins. Trevor Richards is his name, and you may have known him if you read the story that I wrote on Thursday about his experience working in the Miller Coors gift shop, the Miller Brewery, of course, just a couple miles from Miller Park. He was working there 14 months ago, a couple winters ago, working in guest relations, working in the gift shop, working with the employee, you know, the employee store and a few other things. He took a major rise to the big leagues. He was undrafted, went from playing independent ball to getting into the Marlins system, was their minor league pitcher of the year last year, and broke camp with them, was very good in spring training, had a great spring, and wound up in the rotation, pitched against the Brewers in game two of the series on Friday night. The Brewers didn't tag him until later in his outing. They ended up winning the game handily, but it was a really cool story and one that I know a lot of people liked and a lot of people read. So wanted to give you the full interview, my interview with him. I caught up with him on Wednesday before the series started when he was taking a tour of the Miller Coors Brewery, the hard hat tour behind the scenes. And he was there with a few other guys from the Marlins and wanted to just catch his thoughts and talk about his time there. So that is also coming up later on this podcast. So no Tom Haudricourt, no Todd Rosiak, special edition podcast just to keep talking about the Brewers, because even though, I mean, the Bucks are obviously a big story now too, but the Brewers with their hot start, even if you want to discount six straight wins against teams that have struggled like the Marlins and the Reds, they're still six wins that are in the bank, and that 14-9 record looks awful good on Tuesday morning. So let's go in reverse order. Let's look at the five, my personal picks for the five best moments so far in the season. We're going to start on opening day. You might have forgotten about this one. Number five, March 29th, Orlando Arcia's game-winning single with two down in the 12th. It scored G-Man Choi. You might have forgotten about him already. Played in just one game this year with the Brewers. Doubles and winds up scoring the winning run in extra innings of the season opener in San Diego. Brewers win that game 2-1. They'd lost the lead in the ninth. Milwaukee had. They had it until the final batter, and then the Padres tied the game. It could have been a crushing moment. Instead, the Brewers rallied back to win. One-run games has been sort of the theme of this team. They've already played in eight of them, which is pretty staggering. Five more games decided by two runs, and in those, in games decided by one or two runs, the Brewers are kind of an unbelievable 10-3. That should speak to how the bullpen's been. The bullpen has been pretty much the story thus far. We've seen some incredible outings from Josh Hader, from Jacob Barnes, from Jeremy Jeffress, from Matt Albers, Dan Jennings, who's the guy that was brought to the team from Tampa Bay to take G-Man Choi's place on the roster. Dan Jennings has also been very good as a left-hander. So the Brewers bullpen, one-run games, pretty emblematic there that their season started with a 2-1 extra innings win in San Diego. You might remember another game from that series that's also going to be on my list here in just a second. Let's stick with the bullpen theme for number four. Josh Hader's performance against the Mets at Citi Field, April 14th in New York. Hader came in the eighth inning, struck out all three guys he faced, finished with two innings, his first career save, five strikeouts and six batters on the New York stage. Really just an awesome performance. And I mean, what can you say about Josh Hader this season? I know a lot of fans have clamored for him to either become a closer or to become the starting pitcher, a starting pitcher. But his role as sort of this relieving weapon that can come in for two innings, for one inning, for pretty much in any scenario, any high leverage scenario, has paid off majorly for the Milwaukee Brewers. So in this particular game, Brewers won the game 4-1, so we were 5-1, I should say. It was a save situation because he came into the game, and it was 4-1. It was a 3-run spread. So it's not as if the save itself was nail-biting. It's just the fact that he struck out 5 of 6 and did it in New York, where everybody's paying attention to this, you know, this lefty slinging the ball around with his long hair. I mean, I'm telling you, this guy's going to be an all-star this year. I really believe that. And he certainly looks it so far. He came in, he struck out Juan Lagares, Wilmer Flores, and Michael Conforto, and then came back out for the ninth after the Brewers had tacked on an insurance run. He got his Drubal Cabrera, Yoenis Cespedes, and then a Jay Bruce flyout. Ended the game. Again, that was his first career save. Right now, as of Monday morning, he has 29 strikeouts in 14 2/3 innings. That's ridiculous. And then that puts him still, even as of this morning, in the top 10, tied for 10th in the major league lead in strikeouts. He's only thrown 14 innings. That's incredible. And starting pitchers are obviously all over that list. And here he is, a reliever still in the mix. He also, for what it's worth, got his first major league hit April 6th when the team had really been scuffling offensively, wound up scoring a run in a 5-4 win over the Cubs. So even his offense is helping in these one-run games. Pretty impressive. Josh Hader has been maybe the single player story of the first stretch of run here, the first not quite month of the season. So he definitely had a moment to shine there. Number 3, March 30th, 2018. We go back to that first series of the year. This is the second game of the year when the Brewers really pulled a rabbit out of their hat thanks to Ryan Braun's 3-run home run in San Diego in the ninth inning that gave them an 8-6 victory. They were down 6-3 going into the ninth, and it just does not happen very often when you're down that many runs in the ninth that you win the game. They were up against Brad Hand, who might not be a household name, but he's a lefty, probably one of the best closers, or I should say best relief pitchers in baseball last year. Certainly considered one of the better closers this year coming into the year. It started with singles from Manny Pena and Jesus Aguilar. Orlando Arcia reached on an error. Jonathan Villar had an RBI single. Lorenzo Cain had an RBI groundout. So it started just, you know, moving guys around this rally. Christian Yelich hit into a fielder's choice. So it was still 6-5 with two outs when Braun stepped to the plate, crushes a ball that ends up as the go-ahead 3-run homer. And you might have even forgotten Corey Knebel, it's amazing the relievers have been so good, with Knebel getting hurt so early in the season. This is before that injury, that hamstring injury. He struck out all three batters he faced in the ninth to put the hammer down on that win. The Brewers, of course, won all three games to open the year against San Diego, started 3-0. It was a nice start to the year. Scuffled a little bit in the subsequent homestand, but just an awesome couple days with those two back-to-back thrillers to start the season and get the Brewers off on the right foot. Number 2 and number 1, I had a tough call choosing between these two moments. You're probably familiar with both of them. The other one just happened. April 21st, Brewers, Miami Marlins, Jesus Aguilar's 13-pitch at-bat in the bottom of the ninth. It ended with, on the 13th pitch from Junichi Tozawa, a beautiful home run swing, a ball that narrowly missed the Toyota in center field there, that would have gotten a random fan in the park a free truck. Apparently just missed that. It looks like it hits the truck, but apparently the Brewers said it just missed. And what an at-bat. Obviously, that was all anyone was talking about after Saturday night's game, how he was able to navigate 13 pitches and finish it with the game-winning blow. Brewers win that game by 1, 6-5. They had tied the game in the eighth on a dropped pop-up. A ball, Eric Sogard hit a sky-high pop-up to shallow left, and Marlins butchered it, and one run scored. Eric Thames actually thrown out at the plate. So had he not been thrown out at the plate, Brewers would have won that game in regulation. They would have had a 6-5 win after navigating through the top of the ninth. But in the bottom of the ninth, Tozawa on the hill, Jesus Aguilar, who has been tremendous. I mean, he was hitting .400 before that home run, and then he added an RBI single in Sunday's game too. I mean, he's been awesome. A guy that was on the fringe, on the roster fringe heading into the year, and fortunately for the Brewers, they found a way to keep him, and they were able to keep him, and he has been awesome for them, and really has sort of, this is sort of a subplot, made that Ryan Braun to first base transition almost non-existent. He starts the season, his first game is at first base, and we haven't seen him there again because they just haven't needed that. They've had Aguilar hitting the ball well, Eric Thames crushing the ball from the left-hand side. That's a whale of a platoon if you want to play it that way. Ryan Braun hasn't been needed at first base at all. Also, there's been some injuries. Christian Yelich was on the DL, of course, and Braun himself has been out of the lineup here and there with some injuries, so they haven't really had the excess of manpower that we thought might be a problem early in the season. And they were just fine right now with Eric Thames and Jesus Aguilar. So, speaking of Yelich and Braun, my number one moment thus far, April 3rd, I was at the game with my family. We left in the 8th. We missed the fun in the 9th. The back-to-back home runs with two outs and nobody on in the 9th from Christian Yelich and Ryan Braun gives the Brewers a 5-4 win over the dreaded St. Louis Cardinals. The Brewers were not in that game. I mean, it wasn't a high-scoring game, but they scored twice in the 8th to make it interesting, to make it 4-3 at that point. And Dominic Leone on the hill for the Cardinals. There was, like I said, two outs, nobody on. Christian Yelich was down to his final strike. He hits his first Brewers home run to right center. That winds up tying the game. And the place is still rocking when Ryan Braun steps to the plate and hits his own home run. That was the very next pitch. Braun has had great numbers against Leone. You may remember he comes around on the walk-off celebration, gets doused in pink Gatorade, so his white jersey turns pretty much pink in the post-game interviews. But it was the first game in Major League Baseball history that began with back-to-back home runs. That was when Dexter Fowler and Tommy Pham led off with home runs against Chase Anderson. That was on a very snowy, wintry night, if anyone remembers. And then ended with back-to-back home runs as Yelich and Braun finish the game, get the Brewers the win. First game in MLB history to open and close with back-to-back home runs. Those are my five. I'm sure there's some others that you have in your mind right now as the Brewers are off on the right foot here in the closing moments of April, 14-9, tied for first place in the NL Central. Let's get to some of these interviews. I'm going to start with Trevor Richards again. He's the Miami Marlins pitcher who worked at the Miller Coors Brewery about 14, 15 months ago and then wound up on the Miller Park Hill as a member of the Miami Marlins pitching staff facing Milwaukee. The Brewers did end up winning that game, but it was just a really cool story, I thought. And you can check out the full story at jsonline.com. Have some video as well of Trevor coming back to I guess his temporary home. He's not from Wisconsin. He's from Southern Illinois near pretty much the St. Louis area, but a very cool story. So here is Trevor Richards. All right, so I kind of know the story, but how did you end up in Milwaukee a winter and a half ago? How'd that
work
out?
So my girlfriend Anna had a full-time job up here. She worked downtown. Yeah. So I came up for the off season and just stayed with her, and in the meantime was looking for a job.
Okay.
And I saw an opening here, thought it'd be pretty cool to work at Miller, and applied, and it was a perfect fit actually, so it was very nice.
Yeah. So what exactly were your job responsibilities? You're working in the gift shop? And
yeah, I was in the guest relations, so I was in the gift shop, I was in employee beer store, I did quite a bit of different stuff. Never did tours or anything like that, but was with the guest relations team here.
So you were here from October 2016 to February 2017?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. I mean, obviously you liked it because you're coming back for tours, right?
Yeah,
it's been a pretty good gig.
Very cool. I enjoyed it a lot. And we like Milwaukee. We're not here anymore in the offseason, but it's cool to visit, be up here.
Yeah. Did you have any teammates at the time that were like, why are you going to spend your winter in Milwaukee? Especially as you look outside now.
A couple, but it wasn't too big a deal. But Anna was up here. She wasn't moving. She had a good job up here, so
yeah.
I just came up and found a job.
Did she work downtown?
Yeah, she worked downtown, yeah.
Cool. I'm imagining, well, give me a sense of where, I mean, you're obviously from the greater St. Louis area, you know, in Illinois, so is it a similar vibe to what you have in Milwaukee, or is it completely different, like a small town? I don't know.
Yeah, we live in a very small town, it's not quite the same. Milwaukee's a city, not a big one, but still way different than what we grew up as, so it was a little bit different, but... I've been to numerous cities now, so it's a little different now coming back here.
Yeah, you see in the city every few days. Yeah. It turns out. How many teammates did you bring with you? You got a few of them to come out.
We got like five or six here today. Everybody valued off day. Everybody enjoys their off day, so a couple guys were interested. So I just sent out an invite. Was like, hey, whoever comes, no pressure. If you're interested, come on over. So. It was fun. It was cool. I enjoyed it.
What's the coolest part of the hard hat tour? I've never been on it. I've only been on the light version.
Yeah, I've never been. That was my first time on the hard hat too.
Oh, really? Okay.
I like the filling and stuff like that. It's pretty cool to see.
Sure.
See how everything's filled and how much that can produce is incredible.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out how somebody who's undrafted college pitchers in the big league for 25. Like, that's a pretty crazy story. Is there anything, one thing you could point to, or two things you could point to that helped you along the way?
Not necessarily one thing in particular. It was just a combination of taking advantage of opportunities and working hard, really. I put a lot of work into baseball my whole life, and it's paid off
you're a changeup guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is you were seeing an indie ball when a scout came to look at somebody else.
Yeah, right? Yeah. A scout came, looked at somebody else, and I was there, saw me throw. They fill out reports on everybody. Filled out a report on me. I think it was a couple weeks later, I got the phone call and started with the Marlins.
Yeah. I mean, that had to be a surreal experience. Yeah. I'm sure in indie ball you're trying to get noticed. I don't know if you're aware if scouts are there, like what you're just going on.
Yeah. You're kind of aware, but yeah, it's just another game. You're just trying to play, do your best, and hopefully something good happens.
Yeah. So describe what spring training was like for you, because obviously you had a lot of success. I don't know with the 40-man situation, if it felt like was there a point where you're like, this actually could happen?
Not really.
Not until the end?
Not until the end, yeah. I didn't really think about it at all. I was just trying to throw the best I could. I got sent down to minor league camp just to build up innings, and I got lucky enough to have a chance to throw them two big league games at the end of spring and threw well. So
yeah, that, you make sure they're
a couple days. Yeah, yeah. So it was definitely fun.
What was that moment like where they told you were going to break camp?
Oh, it's a dream come true. Really. Yeah. I mean, you always dream of it. Honestly, I don't even know if it's still sunk in. Really.
Three outings in.
Yeah, it's still just awesome. Words can't really describe it.
How has it been the last few days having thrown a really good outing? I know the first couple were a little uneven, and then you do what you do against the Pirates.
Yeah, it's good just to settle in, get used to the routine, get used to the people and everything. It makes a big difference.
When you were in Milwaukee, because assuming the weather is pretty comparable to what we have now, where did you train?
I worked out here.
Okay.
In the gym here.
Really?
Yeah.
You have like a big full-length just gym for employees?
They have an employee gym, and I worked out there in the morning, so I'd wake up early in the morning, go there, go to work, and then in the afternoon I would go to BRX, I think it's called.
Okay.
It's out of the city a little bit, but it's close to the ballpark, honestly.
Nice.
And a teammate of mine, his buddy, was starting it up. It was pretty new when I worked out there. But he had an indoor place that I could throw and get off the mound and stuff, so I would throw in the evenings over there.
Awesome. What other jobs did you look at? Did you look at just temp jobs?
Temp jobs
in the winter doesn't seem like a thing. But
all temp jobs. I was looking, anything.
Yeah.
I think I applied to hotel, like parking, valet, all kinds of stuff. I was just looking for some sort of money just to make a little bit while I was away from baseball.
Yeah, and I imagine that's pretty similar. Like, that's sort of come to the forefront lately, minor leagues, salaries.
Yeah, because in the minors, you don't make enough to not work in the offseason. So, I mean, every offseason I had to get a job. This past one, I was back home. I was a teacher. I taught at school.
Really? What'd you teach?
Anything and everything. Kindergarten through 8th grade, yep.
That's crazy. The kids had to be impressed. Like, I'm a minor league baseball player. They had to look you up.
So every offseason I was trying to find a job. Just 2 years ago happened to be in Milwaukee, so it was a little tougher because I didn't know a whole lot of people, but we found it, and I mean, it couldn't have been better. This was awesome.
Did it matter to you that Milwaukee was going to be early on the schedule, in the April schedule, and that there was a chance of getting that?
No, I honestly didn't even look. I didn't even think about it, and whenever I realized it, I was like, oh, that'd be fun. That'd be cool to go back, and we haven't been back since I left, so.
It's crazy. A year ago you were working here. Like, it's just, I don't know if that's crazy. It's bizarre. It's just crazy. It's a crazy story.
Yeah.
Especially, being undrafted. Did that work to your advantage at all? Not having the expectations, not having any signs?
I think maybe a little bit, and that's kind of how I've gone with my whole career, is just, you can't really think, dwell on any of that, like I'm supposed to be here, supposed to do this, I didn't get drafted. It was just, I learned from indie ball and just from college and my whole life just take it day by day. You can only control what you can control.
Right.
So things that are out of your control, you just have to let go and just work hard. So that's kind of the mindset I took going in, and it paid off.
One more shorter interview to get to. This was Lewis Brinson before Thursday night's game. Lewis Brinson's a really cool guy. I don't know if anybody really got a chance to get to know him when he was in Milwaukee, because it was pretty brief last year when he came up with the team. But he's a pretty fun interview, fun-loving guy, and it's cool to hear him, kind of cool even in the context of it coming against the Brewers, to see him have success hitting those two home runs in his first game back, hitting another one in the series, even though the Marlins didn't win any of the games. So you can feel good about it if you're a Brewers fan that he is able to get off the schneid a little bit, because he was really struggling coming into this series. He managed to build up his numbers a little bit. That trade right now looking pretty good for the Brewers. It's obviously way too early to say one way or the other, but Esan Diaz and Monty Harrison have struggled in the minors as well. Lewis Brinson who has been given a chance to play every day in the major league level, but he has struggled to a degree, but not against the Brewers. Hit three home runs, including a three-run homer that looked pretty bad for Milwaukee at one point in that game that Aguilar won with a walk-off home run. So chatted with him in the dugout with other members of the media prior to Thursday's game. Here's Lewis Brinson back in Milwaukee.
Man, it's good to come back, even though I was only here for, you know, maybe 20 games. But, you know, create a lot of good relationships over there. And, you know, obviously, Milwaukee's a great place to play. Fan base is awesome. City's awesome. And, you know, you got this roof protecting us from the cold. So, you know, it's good to come back.
How disappointing was it to you to have the injury at the end of the season and not be able to come up and get that extra experience in September?
Right. It was disappointing. It was definitely a little heartbreaking, especially the way the team was going, making a playoff push, and definitely wanted to be a part of that in September. And, things happen. It's a game of baseball, and I tried to get healthy in time to come up and kind of contribute a little bit, but, you know, baseball gods had other plans, and, I'm just happy I'm healthy. I'm healthy now and determined to move on.
What's your mindset going into this series against a real team? Do you, like, have to fight the feeling of trying to do too much, or just embrace that, or, you know, what do you think?
No, I'm just trying to go out there and help my team. Obviously I was over there last year, but, you know, now, different team, you know, same mindset kind of thing. Just trying to go out there, play hard, play my game, get it going a little bit, and just help my team win. It's going to be good playing against some guys that, you know, I played with last year, but at the same time, you know, you step between those lines, it's battle. So looking forward to that.
Did you hook up with anybody last night, or just correspond with anyone?
I wasn't going nowhere last night. No, that snow is not for me. So I was looking out my window last night. I didn't go anywhere.
Who are you most keeping in touch with?
Brett Phillips, but he's not up here right now. That's probably the guy, you know, drew closer to us playing together in the fall league and then playing up here together for a little bit, and last year in AAA. I had good relationships with everybody. Nobody in particular, but, you know, all the coaches and front office staff and everybody, all the players, you know, everybody really treated me well up here.
Mattingly gave you the series off in the mm-hmm. just wanted to help you regroup a little bit. What did you focus on during those couple of days?
I was just trying to make an adjustment, man. Just trying to make the adjustment that I needed to. Just small things, and, you know, I thank Mattingly for, you know, give me time to kind of get my thoughts together and get my game back together. It meant a lot, and, you know, I think I got some good good rest and good adjustment time, good time to work on some things that I need to work on, and, you know, just some adjustments that I need to make. You know, this game's about adjustments, and, you know, I've made some good adjustments in New York, and I'm ready to go this year.
Did you put anything extra on yourself? Obviously, when things aren't going well, did you, when you think back, did you try to do a little too much or try to impress?
No, I tried to do less, which was probably not a good thing. I was trying to, just go up there and stay positive and tell myself I belong up here, and I still believe that. No matter how bad I'm going or how good I'm going, you know, I'm going to say that I belong up here. And, I know I can play up here for a very long time. I just think it was, some things I was doing at the plate, you know, just wasn't working. And, like I said, I had to make adjustments. And, looking forward to the adjustments tonight and, you know, the rest of the series.
Spending the time in the cages to make some of those physical adjustments. Were the physical adjustments the most important part? Was the mental break the most important part? Or was it a little bit of a combination of both?
Maybe a combination of both. Like I said, there were some physical adjustments I had to make, but also mentally just give myself a break and, you know, kind of get away from, you know, getting ready to play every day. I want to be out there helping my team. And that last game in New York, you know, we really came together as a team. JT coming back, you know, that's a big bat in our lineup, and I'm glad to have him back and be playing on the same field as him. But that was, you know, it was kind of hard to watch on the bench. I wanted to contribute, want to be a part of, you know, us winning. We have a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun when you win. So, you know, I definitely wanted to be a part of that, and it hurt a little bit. But, I'm glad, I made the adjustments I did. I feel good about them, and, I'm ready to go this year.
That's going to wrap it up for our special edition of the Milwaukee Brewers podcast put together by the Journal Sentinel. Again, my name is J.R. Radcliffe, and we look forward to bringing you more content. Todd or Tom will be back on the next podcast talking about the Brewers as we head into the next homestand at Miller Park. We'll see if the Brewers are still in that first place category when they come back home to Milwaukee. Got some big games ahead in Kansas City and Chicago. We'll catch you again real soon.